It's time to breathe new life into the social entrepreneur by empowering you to make a living through fulfilling work that will impact lives. You'll make money, but more importantly, you'll make a difference. Welcome to the Change Creator Podcast. It's time to build a business with purpose. Now here's your host, Adam Force.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Change Creator Podcast Show. This is your host, Adam Force. Today, we're going to be talking to Gabriella Geffen. Gabriella, I hope I'm pronouncing that last name correctly. But Gabby is what she goes by, and she is in business development. She's actually a business development expert at the Maharishi Institute and is also a member of the national task team responsible for developing entrepreneurship and social entrepreneurship programs in South Africa. She works closely with award-winning social entrepreneur Taddy Bletcher, who was on the cover of Change Creator magazine as well. And they are doing incredible work to bring more access to education to students in South Africa. And it's been a big success. And so we dive into this incredible story with Gabby and talk about some of the things that they're working on in the future, which we're calling the University of the Future. So it's really exciting work. They talk about how they're doing some of these things and where it's going. So we're going to tap into that in just a second. If you guys haven't stopped by the App Store lately, you definitely should. We did release our events edition. It's called Events That Matter. We wanted to create a resource that you can rely on that would be ongoing. So we will be updating it, refreshing it, adding events, and we'll notify you and stuff like that. So it's as easy as just a thumb's reach away on your phone. You pop open the app, see what the next event is that's coming this year that you might want to get to and connect with people. We have a bunch of information in there about networking tips and also the details of each event so that you can register and see what makes sense. So definitely check that out, guys. It is 4 weeks free if you're not a subscriber already. We're on iTunes and Google Play. You can also grab some more details over at changecreator.com. Okay, so guys, we're going to jump into this conversation. Leave us a review for the magazine, for the podcast. We love hearing from you, and your support means the world to the ongoing progress of Change Creator.
I know you're going to dig this.
Hey, Gabby, how you doing today? I really appreciate you jumping on the show. I'm excited.
I'm so excited, too. Hi, Adam. It's great to be talking to you.
Good. Yeah, you guys have so much cool stuff going on, and education to us is just so fundamentally important. And it's such an important space, you know, for any social entrepreneur anywhere in the world to consider as an area to become an expert in, because it's, you know, to me, it's the driving force of, you know, if you want to help poverty, education is a huge solution to doing that. You want to help clean water, education, you know, it's just such a fundamental thing. So I'd love to hear a little bit of background just so you can speak to the audience about, you know, what you're doing. And I want to help define the problem that as you see it, right? Like how, based on what you're doing and how you define the problem, if you can just give a little bit of background and context for people, that would be really great.
Okay, absolutely. So I live in South Africa, and the problem in South Africa is that we have about 7 million people supporting a tax base of like 49 million people who are unemployed and who are living on social welfare grants. And a lot of this is due to the terrible legacy of apartheid and the terrible lack of opportunities and segregation. And even 20 years into democracy, because of you know, not having a government that's been equipped to really deal with the problems well, we found that our education system has even just got worse. So the result is that in South Africa, we have this enormous youth bulge of millions. I think 73% of youth in South Africa are unemployed. And the reason that they're unemployed is twofold. Firstly, due to fundamental lack of skills, due to failing on the part of the school system. And secondly, because, you know, even after the school system, there aren't many opportunities for people who don't have the financial resources and who haven't had a good school education to further their education. So they land up, you know, working in very low-paying jobs. And it's not that there aren't opportunities out there, because there are about 1 million jobs in South Africa that need to be filled, but these are skilled jobs. So the challenge really is, how do you bridge the skills necessary for these unemployed youth who can't afford to go to university, and how do you create a sustainable model that will educate people basically out of poverty and put them into skilled jobs in the economy?
Right.
So I work at an organization that has developed really innovative ways to do this, and it's really the first of its kind, not only in South Africa, but, you know, actually in the world, where this completely free or virtually free university, where, you know, students pay 200 rand a month, which is, I don't know, what's that in dollars? It's like 200 divided by 13.
so not much.
Month. And really, if I had to describe what the Maharishi Institute is, it's a free access, self-funding university model. Because the reality is that, you know, free education, that money is always going to have to come from somewhere. And we have a massive problem in South Africa at the moment where, you know, there's this massive movement, fees must fall for the universities. Students are, under a lot of stress because they can't afford the fees for university, and governments, they're protesting so that government will make university completely free. But even in the US, I mean, the cost of university is just becoming so exorbitant that people are riddled with debt for the rest of their lives. So there really is this need for free education, but bearing in mind that money will always have to come from somewhere. And whereas most countries, like the Scandinavian countries, like Denmark or Sweden, they'll have like a really equal society, and the government will be able to support that free education. In many countries, the government can't pay. You know, the government doesn't have that money. So then, what do you do to solve that problem? And that's where we have the free access yet self-funding model. So essentially, we've created this university model where we open our own businesses as a university, and it's reimagining the university as a social enterprise. And the students, not only do they get an internationally recognized business degree through distance learning, like we also leverage a lot of technology to make it very cost efficient, but also they work part-time for the entire duration of their degree, thus earning a stipend for themselves so that they're able to stay in school, making the university self-funding so that it can continue offering its services into perpetuity. And, once they graduate, they've had minimum 3 years work experience. So that's also fulfilling a really fundamental need, where employers today are saying, you know, we won't hire you because you don't have the experience, but then people never get the experience because employers won't hire them.
Yeah. All right, let's pause there, because you unpacked a lot of stuff. And I just want to start tapping into it a little bit here. So we talked about, you know, they have the lack of skills. It's kind of a conundrum, right? Because you don't have the skills, you don't have access to school to get the skills, but then to get a job and contribute to the economy and provide to your family, you kind of need this experience, which now you can't get, right? So there's just a lot of disconnects in the way that this particular, you know, we'll call it the system, is working, right? So in other words, it's not working. And I guess to your point, you said, you know, Scandinavia, some of these other countries, they're basically taxing the public at a higher rate in order to afford access to education. But these are the richer and more developed areas, but they might have different problems in education, whether it's curriculum, or in the U.S. we have high school debt and you come out with this crushing debt that you can't get off your back. So there's a lot, I think there's a lot of areas for improvement in the education space. And then in South Africa and areas alike, we have a very a much more substantial problem that you guys are solving, and you're creating this new approach that I want to unpack a little bit more. So I did your math, and the 200 rand turns into about $15 a month. You said 200 divided by 13, so that's about $15 a month. Now, your team, it's the Maharishi Institute, which I love, by the way. You have this holistic mindset about education, meaning, you know, it's mind, it's skills, it's everything all together. So, you know, I know the Maharishi Institute is popular for, you know, incorporating mindfulness exercises like meditation and things like that. How did you guys, I guess, start addressing this? You started unfolding just a high-level review about what you're doing, but how did you start saying, okay, here's this model that we can approach to start giving people the opportunity and access to education that they deserve and need? These are people that said, there's quotes all over the internet from The Fees Must Fall, which they said, we want to contribute to the economy. We want to get these skills. We just need the opportunity. How did you start serving and creating that opportunity? Do you know from the beginning how this started?
Absolutely. So like any great idea, it started in phases, and it developed according to the needs. So originally, the person who started the Maharishi Institute, the founder's name is Dr. Taddy Bletcher, mm-hmm. an absolutely incredible social entrepreneur. And he was an actuary when he was 27 years old. He was about to immigrate to the States because, like many people, he thought that, you know, there wasn't really a future for South Africa, and he'd rather go to a developed country. Actually, I think he was going to Australia, and he had packed his entire house up in boxes, and he was ready to go. And the night, I think 2 weeks before he was about to leave, he tells the story that he lay in his bed under a house full of boxes, and he just started weeping, and he wept and he wept and he cried the entire night. And he just had this visionary moment where he was like, how can I leave when there is such a big problem, and I want to give back to this country? You know, I really want my legacy to be about just doing something that will help so many lives, and like my chance to help is right here, you know. So the next morning, he literally unpacked his entire house, unpacked all the boxes, and he said, right, I'm going to stay in South Africa and I'm going to make a difference. And education had really changed his entire family's life. So he had this enormous focus on education because he grew up in poverty, and he saw how in just one generation, his family's absolute commitment to education, every single cent went into education, even though they were lying on foam mattresses on the floor, and like six boys in a room or six children in a room, yet they were going to private schools because that's all the money was channeled into. And he saw how in one generation his entire family came out of poverty, and he just saw how possible it was. So he started going into the townships, the very low income areas, called Alexander Township in Johannesburg, South Africa. And he went into the township schools, and for 4 years of his life, he actually taught meditation in the township schools, and that's where the holistic. And another thing was that his life was so deeply touched by learning transcendental meditation, and that's where it comes from. The word name Maharishi comes from. He was failing all his subjects when he was doing actuarial science, and he learned to meditate, and it was literally like his whole life turned around. He became the fastest qualifying actuary in the country. He just saw how this access to this depth within you, having a way to access that, can completely bring out your full potential. So they wanted to do an experiment in the township schools, and they found that, you know, students' lives and their marks were improving so much, because the reality is that if you're sitting in the classroom with massive trauma and psychological stress based on the very violent poverty-stricken upbringing that you're being brought up in, you know, you have so much stress that you can't focus on your algebra. What does algebra mean to you, you know?
Well, right.
So that's why this whole holistic method came about, is if you know, unless you find a way to deal with that stress and to really tap into your potential, nothing is possible. So it's really, meditation is like the activity of waking people up inside so that their full potential can thrive.
I love that.
And it's so beautiful. And they were seeing amazing results in the schools. People were passing with like much better results. They did an entire, you know, scientific study. And only to find that 4 years later, these kids had nowhere to go. Now they were graduating. They had no money for university. And all the effort that he had spent 4 years doing, it amounted to nothing. And that's why he realized that, okay, if you really want to make a difference in education, it has to be, especially in South Africa, or, you know, like developing countries in the world, it has to be about providing quality university education and that further step to people who wouldn't otherwise be able to afford it, and also who would need a lot of bridging in their skills. Right. So that's, and then there's just one more element that I wanted to answer on that question. It's in terms of the self-funding model, and there were actually two elements. So in terms of the self-funding, why there was a need to make it self-funding was because in the beginning it was all donation-based. But what happened was obviously all of that endowment just ran out, you know, with a previous university. So there was really this need to come up with a creative model that the money keeps recycling. Every cent is recycled. So every student who goes through the money pays it forward. And by the time they've graduated, they've paid back through their learn and earn and working while at university, they've paid back 50% of their bursary. And then they pay back the rest once we place them in jobs. And we have an almost 100% placement rate. And then they nominate someone from their community to go through the exact same process. So it's this every cent is recycled, paid forward model. And then the students also earn a stipend because, and this is the last thing that I'm going to touch on, we found that, you know, even free university isn't enough, because if you think of the opportunity cost of someone who has a family, they have pressing needs, they can't just sit in a classroom learning theory for 4 years. they're missing out on income for 4 years. So there really is also this need that while they're studying, they're also earning income to cover their costs.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. So this process is kind of a beautiful process. And it is, in my mind, a really gigantic task that Taddy faced. You know, you sit up and you're like, how can I help? I believe in education. And so the model started with this experiment, one, to manage the stress. How do we start adopting a more holistic approach to manage lifestyles, especially the extreme lifestyles that were being lived in South Africa? And then how do we start creating access to education? And so the experiment, I guess, expanded to this donation model, which, you know, Dr. Alistair Harris, he's an award-winning social entrepreneur as well. And he said the same thing when it comes to donations, nonprofits, is that the challenge is keeping the money and having it become a reliable resource, right? And so using a different model, he did a for-profit, and you guys moved over to this learn and earn. So the donations didn't work for a long-term solution. You move over to the learn and earn model, and now you're actually creating business opportunities, right? They work there. I'm just making sure I understand everything. And now they're earning, they have money. They basically get a bursary, which pays for the education. And then they work for somebody, a company, and they earn a stipend, which is a small salary. This is now helping them pay and live. So now they can go to school but still earn a livable wage to meet their needs. And then it also helps them pay off the bursary. Is that right?
Exactly. And there are really two elements. So firstly, remember that our bursaries are very low cost because we leverage technology so much. You know, they do online lectures, we have facilitators, but it's really this site-based distance learning where you have the personal interactions for the holistic human development and for, you know, just facilitators helping where they need to. But a lot of the learning is done online. Really where the world is going. So that's why, firstly, it's really low cost and very easily replicable and scalable. And then the second thing is we have two different models for their learn and earn. So the first one is within the Maharishi Institute, and the second one is with external employers. So we actually create our own businesses. We have a business called Invincible Outsourcing, which is a call center and BPO center, and we're starting a new company called Invincible IT, which is going to be an IT company at various levels of the value chain and with different specializations, basically offering outsourced consulting services. And so the students, the most ideal option is for the students to work within these companies that the university has started, earn their living, gain experience, because then they're, you know, it's kind of disruptive if they're continuously going to external employers. It can work and it does work, but it's definitely preferable to create these businesses in-house. And then we have the other model where we have amazing partnerships with companies like Accenture, for example, the global management consulting firm. And our students will half-day study, and the other half of the day they'll go work at Accenture.
Okay. And now, just so we're clear, when you say there's a, I think that this, the tuition, basically, that's the bursary, right? That is, it's actually, I believe, based on the RAND versus the U.S., it's like under $10,000 or something like that U.S., isn't it?
Absolutely. So it's less than $2,000 a year, and it's for 4 to 5 years.
Right. Okay. Yeah,
five years, because we do 1 year foundation, plus we do a bridging, 1 year foundation, which is bridging, plus we do a 4 year honors degree. But there are various exit levels, so students can leave with qualifications at the end of every year. And our goal, because we now want to expand the model all through South Africa, through Africa, and actually globally, and especially in a lot of countries in Africa, and in, you know, we're looking at countries in Central America and South America, and we're looking at India as well. We want to get our costs down so low that eventually it will actually only be about $500 per student per year to study.
That would be amazing. And so where does the year now, is that bursary just being paid through the work program, or is there an upfront payment made by somebody else to cover it?
Okay, so we have a lot of partners, and see, everything happens gradually and as a process. So we didn't always have the learn and earn model. We first had the nonprofit model, donations-based model, then that donation-based model turned into a pay it forward where at least every cent was being recycled by the student.
Right.
So we still have upfront the donations. We have a lot of partners. They do their corporate social responsibility and corporate social investment throughout us. So that's where the upfront money comes back. And then in terms of the recycling that money, it comes from the learn and earn and the students paying it forward. But eventually the goal is to have the businesses so sustainable that, you know, we don't even need the donations, that the businesses are really paying for the university.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So I guess right now, can you start defining what the next steps are? I know you're working towards this vision of getting costs down, and you're doing the learn and earn model. You still have the donations. So what's happening today? You guys have made a tremendous amount of progress, and I think you have incredible success and results with some of the data that you've shared with us. So I'm just curious what some of the next steps are to keep this moving forward right now. Is it still just going to be a focus in South Africa for Maharishi Institute, or do you have in your next 5 years a vision to expand beyond South Africa?
Okay, it's a great question, and it's a very exciting time, because really within the last 2 years we've been seriously talking about and planning this expansion strategy. So we are absolutely looking to be in every province in South Africa, and we want to be in 15 countries throughout Africa and globally. And we're currently looking and engaging with partners, partners to expand through South Africa, Africa, and globally. And, there's a lot of interest from partners, and corporates are desperate to get involved in education that's really having an impact in a dynamic way. A lot of corporates that are, or big companies that are investing in education, there's a very scattered approach, and no one really knows. They're just kind of trying to throw money at the problem, and no one's really investing in this targeted solution that has, proven success rates to take someone off the streets, out of poverty, into a high-skilled, high-earning, paying job where they're now contributing to the economy. And let's talk about some of the stats, which are amazing with the Maharishi Institute. So what's amazing is that 70% of our student intake, they don't even necessarily have a university pass, but we take them on and do so much bridging with them that every single one of our graduates is placed in top skill jobs in the country. And another amazing stat is that, in most universities, you have a throughput rate, at least in South Africa, of 25%. So only 25% of people who come into university actually graduate. And because our model is so holistic and so robust, after the first year, the foundation year, we have an 80% throughput rate of students that are guaranteed to graduate and then get placed into jobs. These are graduates. We currently have educated over 17,000 unemployed youth. These graduates are now earning over 1 billion rand in let's just dollarize that.
Yeah, my brain. That's incredible, right? So that's over their I guess, is that based on their lifetime value of work, or is that based on the currently, based on the number of people working?
Graduates earning 1 billion. Rand, yeah.
Now they said 17,000 have been placed, and so that was through all these different iterations that you have tested, whether it was donations, learn and earn. It's the full expanse of from start till now, right?
Exactly.
Okay, great.
And if you consider that our running costs of the institute are so low, they're like 24 million rand a year. And if you consider that our graduates are earning 1 billion rand every year, the return on investment is just incredible. And our goal is really to educate 100,000 business leaders for Africa. But now our vision has even expanded beyond Africa. But we estimate conservatively that just 100,000 people who go through our program, they'll bring conservatively 1 trillion rand back into the hands of the poor, throughout their lifetime. So the impact is just enormous.
It really is. And I mean, I could see this working almost anywhere. I mean, whether you're a developing country or a developed country, you have different issues, but I think the common denominator as an issue is access to education, whether you can't afford it and the university is very costly, whether you are living in South Africa and the opportunity is just not even there. So in the U.S., you have debt, but you also just, I think there's a lot of people that are deterred from education just because of high cost and lack of access, right? Do you agree with that?
I do. And I think an important point to bring up here is there's a big move towards online courses and digital university. And that is such an important part. It is necessary, but it is not sufficient. And the way I'm going to qualify that is, you know, there was research done by the World Economic Forum saying that everyone thinks that the university of the future is everyone just having their a tablet and really just directing their own learning. But this is ignoring that the most in-demand skills in the 21st century are the human-centered skills. It's not just about knowledge assimilation. It's about how you connect with people, teamwork, creativity, innovation, you know, problem solving, people management. You know, these are the things that robots can't do yet. So an education where you're just, you know, sitting on your laptop all day learning information, it's not going to help you in the 21st century. And that's why our model is site-based distance learning. And that's really the way to go, because you still need to have what makes the universities like Harvard and Oxford so desirable. It's not just the information and the quality of the education, but it's the networks that you make for the rest of your life. So that's why it's also so important to have these sites where you can invest in holistic human development and grow people, you know, where they can really develop their full potential and build these networks, or at a really low cost.
Right. I love that. And I think it's a huge area that is lacking in all education. I know areas like Finland are more progressive with updating their curriculum to be more humanized. But you have guys like Sir Ken Robinson. I still believe that the number one TED talk of all time is his on education, which is our education system, you know, like taking out all the creativity, right? Something like that. I can't remember. Is school killing creativity or something like that? Do you know Sir Ken Robinson?
Absolutely, yeah. He's
one of the best presenters I've ever seen. I mean, the guy is incredible, but he brings up a lot of good points. And I think they align to what you're saying is like, are we actually developing people to work in a system of the past, which is this industrial revolution, or are we actually developing humans with human skills to network, to build relationships, to, you know, survive? Like, there's a whole different area of creativity and innovation that seems to be lacking. Just based on old models. And to your point, there's a transition and there's this new need in the world that I think is just huge in the education space. So I love what you guys are doing. And not only just the model that you have to say, we're doing this learn and earn, we're creating access. All that is incredible. But then you tie in a line of thought, which is more holistic. It's mindful. And you have an area of attention on developing the person, right? Helping them manage stress, helping them enjoy their life. Like, it's just, it's such a beautiful part of this equation that is missing in so many other areas of the world.
Absolutely. And Teddy says something really great. He says, you know, we're not training humans to be robots. Robots are much better at being robots than humans will ever be. And you know, it's really about, exactly, it's training humans to be human. What makes us human, and why isn't our education system centered around that? And I just want to give you some research with the meditation and the transcendental meditation approach. We did a study there's a university in a university in South Africa called the University of Johannesburg, UJ. And at the beginning of the year, we tested students from who'd been living in the townships under conditions of a lot of poverty. And we tested students who were, you know, about to start with the Mairishi Institute and who were about to start with UJ. We tested their post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. Yeah. And both, you know, really had the same levels of stress. There was no difference between them. By the end of year one, the Mairishi students who'd been meditating the entire year, their post-traumatic stress, they were literally asymptomatic. Their symptoms had completely disappeared. And the stress levels of the students at the other university had actually increased. So the reason why we also use TM is because there's so much scientific data and backing behind it. It's just such an effective method for whole human development.
It is. And when I first learned about transcendental meditation, I started to do research on it. My whole thing was I need to relax myself, like learn how to just like, you know, de-stress, right? And I was very anxious because I was working in New York. Things were chaotic. So anyway, long story short, I did a bunch of research and you are spot on. I mean, I got so excited about my findings of all these peer-reviewed studies, whether it was for detention centers, prisons, schools, and, you know, so many, you know, it helps with aging. I mean, the science behind everything that meditation can actually do for the human mind and body, and it is so incredible. I made a whole PDF with all this research and shared it with everyone in my family. I was like, you guys, you need to know about this, you know? It's really exciting, and it seems like something where you just look at it and you're like, eh, I'm fine. I don't need to do that. But wow, the research is overwhelming and it says, yeah, you do, you know?
And you know, I think now it's in San Francisco, there actually are 75,000 schools that have implemented quiet time doing TM in school because they just like recognize it as such amazing results. I mean, 75,000 schools, it's a lot.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that statistic. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, I want to be respectful of your time. I know you got to catch a flight and get back to Cape Town. I hope it's not too long of a flight for you.
No, it's only 2 hours. I'm in Johannesburg currently.
Nice. Excellent. I actually just had someone visit our website and started chatting with me on the site from Johannesburg. They said they had a referral. I was like, oh, was that Gabby referring? So we got some audience out there too, which is cool. But okay, so listen, how do people find you guys and learn more about what you're doing and how you're doing it and get involved? Where do they go?
Okay, so I think a good place to start would be to go to our website. I think it's maharishiinstitute.org.
Yep. Is that and specific then to your area in South Africa? Because I know there's a Maharishi Institute in the United States, so I want to make sure I get people the right direction.
There is. So maybe you can, I don't know if you maybe can post the exact details somewhere.
Yeah, it'll be on our website. So we'll post this up and we'll have, guys, we'll just put the links and information on that post so you can have access and check them out. But it's Maharishi Institute in South Africa in Johannesburg, right? So yes. You know, just look that up and you'll see. I mean, the information they have and the work they're doing is quite incredible. Taddy Bletcher is an award-winning social entrepreneur for a lot of his work in a few different programs. And he will be on the November edition of our magazine. So keep an eye out for that. We have some incredible insights coming from Taddy. He's a super duper cool guy.
Really is. And another great thing would even just be to YouTube Taddy Bletcher. And they're just amazing videos on him talking.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome.
If people want to get in touch or they have any queries, maybe they can just contact you or on your website and you can just direct them to me, or maybe that's a good way to go.
Not a problem. We will take care of it. Make sure everybody has the information they need. But this is great. And can I say that we are looking at this? I love the term that you use, which is the university of the future. And I do see this holistic approach, the creating more access, and the model you're using as a very strong way to do education. And it could be what we call the university of the future, right?
Absolutely. It's reimagining the university as a social enterprise, holistic human development. And it actually gives me goosebumps because this is totally the way the world is going. This is what the world needs.
Right. Yeah. You are speaking to today's needs and not 100 years ago, you know. And I love that. Reimagining university. That is a beautiful statement. Very cool. All right. Well, Gabby, I'm going to let you go get ready for your flight. And this was really enlightening. And I think this conversation could go on for hours because it's such a deep topic area. But I think this gives people a lot of insights and inspiration and innovative ideas on how to look at education as a really powerful tool to elevate people out of poverty.
Yeah, it's so wonderful. Thank you so much for your time, Adam. And it's just been really special to share. That's what, we just want to see more of these. We want to just revolutionize education the world over. So the more we can share, the better.
Absolutely agree. All right, Gabby. Well, thank you. You know where we're at. Let's stay connected and have a safe flight. We'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Adam.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's all for this episode. Your next step is to join the Change Creator Revolution by downloading our interactive digital magazine app for premium content, exclusive interviews, and more ways to stay on top of your game. Available now on iTunes and Google Play, or visit changecreatormag.com. We'll see you next time where money and meaning intersect right here at the Change Creator Podcast.